For nearly 150 years, slavery was a fact of life for blacks living in Massachusetts. Though it was never widespread in the region, Massachusetts State Supreme Court Judge William Cushing would effectively rule slavery illegal in 1783. In the time after the Revolutionary War, black families would come to thrive in certain South Shore communities, such as Parting Ways near the Kingston-Plymouth border, and Cuffrey Hill in Norwell. In Hingham, another such community would come to be known as Tuttleville. The titular family, the Tuttles, would comprise of a marriage between the Tuttles and the Simpson families.
I feel like there's so much more to this area than people realize. For example, on a map, Tuttleville is the Ward Street, High Street intersection, and yet it's so much more than that. Isn't it, Joe?
Yes, it is, Elizabeth. Tuttleville is among the South Shore's longest-lived, most cohesive black communities of the post-Revolutionary War period, having been home to over a dozen black families as well as Native Americans.
Joyce Barbara, a descendant, has invited us into her home. Shall we go?
After you.
Joyce. Nice
Hi, Joyce.
Nice to see you.
Thanks for having us.
Oh, my pleasure.
I understand you're a descendant of James King Tuttle and Henrietta Simpson.
I am.
Can you tell me a little bit about his father? Where did he come from?
From the history that Mom has been able to research, he came from a warm climate and someplace where the animals ran free.
And how did he get here?
He came here on a ship with Captain Marcellus Lane and the register of the boat and everybody that was on the boat is in his home on High Street.
How did he come in possession of this land?
He was able to work off the property and farm it.
And who owned this property?
My uncle, Edward Russell Tuttle, who was a volunteer fireman for the town, and also he was a proprietor. And I located his diary from 1921.
Wow.
And we were going through it this morning, looking at the information. But it's kind of falling apart because it's so old.
Oh. And I see you have a number of family and extended friends that are gathered here. And Marion.
Yes.
As I understand it, as well as being a member of this very extensive family lineage, that you also had a hand in advancing some of the research.
It started because I wanted to be proud of my grandchildren to be proud of their family. I knew they had struggled to have things as they wanted them, and they struggled to do so, and the more I researched, the more interesting it became.
You were the honorary chair of the Tuttle and Simpson family reunion of 2015, is that right?
Definitely, yes. Oh my goodness, so many people that were interested in. I also met the chief of the tribe. She came and we became one. We had our naming service and people came and it was very, very lovely. And found out that we weren't just always here, we were down on an island. And that was at Martha's Vineyard there. And that's where my great-grandmother came from. And I asked the chief one day, how in the world did they get from there to here? She said, good canoes. So that was a joke between us, but we all got scattered about.
Rosa, you were part of this research that took place. Tell me, what were some of the interesting finds?
Now, the research showed that she was Wampanoag, Chappaquiddick Indian, but when I got started, it showed that she was Pequot, all of it, Nipmuc. I mean, every one of the tribes that's here, every one of the nation, she is affiliated with it. So that booklet that I did, all the cousins got together, and it was important that they get her DNA because that was something that was missing that we needed to have. And once we got the DNA, and it showed that she was 27% Indigenous Indian, we went to work. And I knew that everything that we were finding at that time was true. It could be substantial because without the DNA, none of this was happening.
I find it interesting when you mentioned that there were so many tribes in this area. A lot of people would think just Wampanoag, but Nipmuc, Chippewa, Chappaquiddick, and Narragansett.
Yes.
I understand you were also part of the Tuttle Simpson family reunion 2015?
Yes.
What was that like?
It was an experience that you would have to be there, but you could relive it through all the family members who were there. Chief, everybody was there, and you could see the family, you could see all the resemblance. We had all types of posters and information available, and they was thirsty. Everybody was thirsty to hear and to read and to see about their heritage. They were so pleased to know that people existed in their family line that they could begin to relate to, and they were of all colors.
Tuttleville Poultry Farm. Did poultry farming take place here, and what other work did the community do?
The chicken farm was by my Uncle Russ. Uncle Russ was a gay old guy. He liked to drive fast and had homebrew and stuff. And that chicken business was his main solution. We didn't have to work too hard to keep things going. And the economy itself was more or less shoe business. Boating, making boats. They had a little shop down here across the street from Roundtree's where they built small craft. And it was very active, and most people worked in the shoe shops, I think.
Uncle Russ was a volunteer fireman?
Yes.
In the town?
He and Grandpa.
We have a picture there of him in his uniform. And I was told that that was a prestigious job, to be a fireman and a volunteer. You can tell by the medals on his uniform that he was in good standing with the fire department. And our great-grandmother, Henrietta, her husband died early on, and so she had children, and she had the big house, and so she made the best of the home that she could. So she did country days during the summer, and she went through the YMCA to get people, and they stayed for a week. The whole family came with the kids in camp. So she made ice cream with them. She took them on trips to the beach. She took them out and showed them how to plant a garden, how to pick things from the garden and have nutritional meals.
You know, considering the income here in Tuttleville, perhaps might there have been some involvement of family members or neighbors in the 54th Regiment? That was the one that was organized by then Governor Andrew that had both Black and Native American soldiers fighting in the Civil War?
Yes. Lewis was the one that you're speaking of, and he did serve, but it was unusual for them to have a Black's picture, as they called it, in the GAR Hall, and it still stands there. He migrated to Bridgewater, where he had a family there. He married an Indian princess and lived a relatively happy life after the 54th.
Lewis had 10 children, and he continued being a farmer, gardener, a shoemaker in Bridgewater as he supported his family to the best of his ability. I was told by someone that knew mom in the nursing home, saying the yards were beautiful. They were the flowers, the grass, the whole outside of the perimeter where they lived was landscapable.
It's my understanding that James King Tuttle also made an effort to secure land and money for a church that sits at the intersection of
$1,500, which was a lot of money at that time. According to Mummy and the history that I've read, that the community was getting larger, too large for the barn. And it was at the time when we did a lot of walking, High Street, Cushing Street, the surrounding areas. And it was too far for us to walk or get downtown Hingham. And they needed a place close by, so they petitioned the town.
And other than using it as a community church, was it used as anything else?
Mom says that it was used as a dance hall. It was a community center. Everybody had gone together to raise monies and funds to have a place to be heard.
I've heard that the Free Christian Mission marked the end of Tuttleville. What does that mean to you? What's the story behind that phrase?
I take it as the beginning, depending on which way you're coming from, the beginning of Tuttleville or the end going towards Cushing Street. But it was the end of an era of where community was the resource, or the church was the resource of the community, and where we all met and supported one another.
So many families lived here in Tuttleville, and yet they moved away. Was there any type of tension in the community?
I remember Police Chief Oscar Beck saying that he had had some complaints about, you know, so many people being of color on Ward Street. And they didn't particularly, you know, like some of the folks and whatever else. And he says, well, we'll have none of that. Those people were here before we came. This is their territory. Either you get with the program or move on. Because he says, as police chief, you know, we want fair and economical things going on here, and we will make no discrepancy between those that were here and those that are coming here. Why did a lot of people move away? I personally moved away because I was trying to find socialization and somebody to take me to the prom, because it was still prejudices that were going on, and blacks didn't date whites per se. And when her times, it was still prevalent in my times when I graduated in 66. So I was running to Brockton, Whitman, Hanson, Boston, the city, looking for dates and community. I went away to a historically black college. We went for jobs, we went to better ourselves. You go where you can find employment, and you do the best you can with where you bloom.
You have such a beautiful historic home. Are there other structures still standing?
Yes, there are. The Tuttle House was built by James King and Walter Tuttle. It's a 25-room house. It was smaller, but as the family grew, then they added more rooms to the house.
Wow, you have a gorgeous barn here, too.
Yes, it was built by the family and the shipbuilders, and that's what's left of it. It's now storage, but we used to have many family functions in the barn. Hi, Brad. How are you?
Hi. How are you doing?
Good to see you.
Good to see you. You too. Very nice.
Hi, Paula.
My cousin.
Hi. Hi, everyone.
Hello.
Who all do we have here?
Nice to meet you. I'm Paula Gentry.
Paula. Joe.
Nice to meet
you,
Joe.
Good to see
you. And Brad.
Brad. Pleasure.
Wow, this is quite a barn you've got going on here. Can you tell me a little bit about its uses and its history?
I'm not really sure when it was built, but it's over 100 years old. I can validate that. And that because our relatives were, ancestors were shipbuilders and builders, that they built this very similar to what they would use in building a ship. And it kind of resembles inside of the ships. The barn has been used for several occasions. My parents weren't married yet, but her first marriage that my mother had was out in the yard. Mine was in the yard also. And my bridal shower and other occasions we have used the barn. So it's been community service, family needs, whatever that was. At the specific time, and reunions.
I heard that there were some really great parties that were held here over the years. Can you tell us a little bit about them?
Yes. Besides my parents having the anniversary party here, as I was growing up, we used to have parties here so that my parents would know who we were connecting with, who they were, and they would chaperone.
So this barn really served as a community meeting place for many of the families here on Ward Street in the early years, the Fairhurst families, the Benito families, the Deleuze families.
My mother said that she started the South Shore Citizens Club. My grandfather was an ambassador for, I guess, the South Shore area for military men who were in the area and wanted to meet nice young women. And that's how my father met my mother and my aunt met her husband. And so many people have love stories or connections here from the barn.
That's how my father met my mother.
Mm-hmm. Okay, he was in the military also. He was in the Navy.
Right.
Joyce, considering your family history, you also have Native American Indian on the Simpson side. Could you tell us a little bit about that?
We have it on the Simpson side, and one of the Tuttles, who was a Simpson originally, married someone who was from Worcester.
Well, our great-grandmother was Nipmuc. She belonged to the Nipmuc tribe. Her name was Laura Vickers. I did a little research into it, and they wanted us to be members of their tribe, but we chose to be Wampanoag. We chose that because we found out recently that that was who we came from.
And one of the, we found out that we are a distant relative, Massasoit. And one of the goals that he had was to keep us from fighting one another. And also because of the war of 1812, that we lost so many Native Americans, that he wanted us to know one another and love one another and care for one another. My cousin Linda will probably bring us up to date on the Chappaquiddick side of the family.
Hello, Chief Yellowfeather.
Hi.
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 Glad you could join us.
Thank you.
You know, I understand that the term Wampanoag is often referred to among the Chappaquiddick, but is that the proper reference?
No, we don't use Wampanoag. I know a lot of tribes do and still do and always have. The word that we use is the original Algonquin word, and that is Wampanoag. And so we are the Chappaquiddick Wampanoag of the Massachusett Nation. That's how we address ourselves or address each other from time to time.
And with the continuing work that you're doing around the work for your nations, what other discoveries are you working on about the history of your people?
The history is always ongoing. And lucky for us, we have Auntie Marion, Mama Teague. We have her. What she has uncovered, the information that she has on the other side of the family of the Simpson. And so putting our history together with hers gives you the full picture. The stories that I was given by my grandmother and great-grandmother, great aunts and uncles, cousins, that information linked up to what Auntie has given us is absolutely invaluable, because they're not just documents that you can go to the archives and go get. We're talking about living history. We're talking about what Auntie Marion, in her 90s, what she's experienced, what she knows. But we're also talking about the history of our people of being storytellers. So the stories that I know, the stories that she knows, the stories that she's told Joyce, are just bits and pieces of our history is woven within those family stories. And so to see a lot of that family history come to life by bringing it all together full circle, it's been wonderful.
I also understand that you're also engaged in a project where you're documenting the various sacred lands of the tribe. Tell me more about that.
Yeah, my sub-chief and I have been, I've been doing it for about 10 years of looking for different spots that were considered sacred to us. They're dotted all over the state of Massachusetts. We're standing on a sacred place here. This land was sacred to our people. Long before the barn was built, long before the church here, long before the houses were here, the Native Americans came here, the Chappaquiddick, Seekonk, Pocasset, Poconoket, Herring Pond. A lot of those tribes came here on this land, and their medicine men and women and their chiefs and some of council would come and gather. And they discuss not just their own families and their histories and their business, but they would pray. You know, someone was ill, a child maybe, you know, was sick or lame. And so the things that we did here on this land were the same as what happened afterward when the church came into being by Reverend Hobart, I believe, was the man here that was credited with bringing the tribal people into Christianity. Everything continues, and it's good to see. It really is good to see.
Can you tell us a little bit about who George Simpson
and Eliza Freeman were?
George Simpson was born on Chappaquiddick. And right after he was born, they moved to, which would be South Scituate, right. Pembroke area. And he married his sister-in-law after his brother died at sea.
Okay.
And she had two children, and then she had, I think it was like 17 altogether. So like another 15 children.
Wow.
17 or 18. And so they had a huge family.
Right.
And part of that, the children that they had together, Agnes, one of their daughters, is my great-great-grandmother.
Okay.
Okay. And so that's how we're related through the Simpsons.
So were the Simpsons Native American?
Yes. The Simpsons were, and are, Chappaquiddick. And, you know, they were, Wessagusset was in there. And there were a few other tribes that had come in. But predominantly, we recognize as Chappaquiddick.
Okay, that's interesting.
Concerning Tuttleville, is there more information that you think is deserving of more attention and being uncovered?
I think the existence of the Native American to this area, as well as the Black families that lived in this area, I think the coexistence of the two, I think, needs to be spoken of more and brought to the more to the forefront.
I think there's so much that we don't know. I'm yearning to find out what happened to the other family members, where they are. And they're popping up slowly but surely. You never know where you're going to be when we find out that they were relatives. We were at the VFW and we were looking at the book that Rosa had made for us, and we were opening up the book, and a gentleman says, "Are you talking about the Tuttles?" And we said, "Yes, I'm a Tuttle." And if I saw him on the street, I wouldn't know who he was. But he recognized the name and came forth.
Wow, Joe, who would ever have thought that there is so much history that lay uncovered and undiscovered right here in Hingham?
Yes, Elizabeth. You know, just uncovering Hingham's rich diversity and its history is quite a major find, and that's what makes this town so special.
Most likely there'll come a time where these connections will be lost. And today we were so lucky to speak to family members of a passing era.
Yes, Elizabeth. Better to keep that conversation going.